church. We're glad you guys are here to worship with us. I know you guys are excited about the end of the semester coming very soon, and we are too, even though we will miss you over break. It is nice to have a break. So we're continuing our Why series. It's our last week of the Why series, and if you've been here for a few weeks, you know we've been talking about some really big questions that we as Christians and many as non-Christians ask. Things like, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? Why don't I always feel God's presence? Why would God use someone like me? And we've been going through these big questions to try to answer the things that we ask deep down in our heart, and we really wonder. These are really big and tough questions. And over the last couple of weeks, we asked you to submit some questions, and you submitted some great questions. It was very hard to pick what to go with, but drum roll, okay? Here's what we decided to talk about this morning. We kind of melded some together, and what we're going to talk about this morning is, why is it so hard to know the will of God? A couple different questions came that way, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. And as we talk about this question, why is it so hard to know the will of God, we as a staff team, as we were talking, we almost felt like we needed to reword the question to really figure out, like, okay, because you're giving us this question and we don't know exactly what you're asking. But if we were to reword it to guess kind of how you're feeling and how we feel as we go through this life, another way of asking that would be, how can I know the will of God for me? So we're going to be talking about that today. And I'm going to go through a lot more verses than I normally do, because this is just a really big topic and a really great topic. But before I pray and before I start, if you have a Bible, you can turn to John 17. I want to preface this whole talk about knowing God's will with this. And this is the really important reminder, is that the Scriptures and everything that we're talking about in the Scriptures, and when we talk about God's will, it can really be summarized into this, is that God is about relationship. God wants a relationship with the people He created. So everything that we read in the Scriptures and everything that we're praying about and everything that we go through in life, when we ask these big questions, it's always important to come back to that premise and say, God, how does this affect my relationship with You? And how does this affect my relationship with people? Because that's what God cares about. He cares about a relationship with you, and this is all through Scripture. People have referred to the Bible as a love story. This God that created mankind trying to woo them back into a relationship that they have run away from. And so it's important for us to just have that foundation as we talk about these types of things. And in John 17, we're going to be there for a couple different verses in John chapter 17 and some others, but you can kind of keep your finger in the book of John. And right before we pray, I wanted you to see this verse with us. Jesus is praying and He's talking. The disciples are within earshot of Him, and He says, now this is eternal life, that they know You. He's talking to God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. So when we talk about God's will, this verse is one of many that kind of just summarizes something for us. This is eternal life. This is what it's all about on this life and the life after, that we would know God. He knows us, but do we personally know Him? And do we know His Son that He sent, Jesus Christ? Because if you start there and you are pursuing knowing God and understanding that He knows you and loves you and that He sent His Son Jesus so that you could have this relationship, and you know what Jesus' life was all about, and you want an intimate relationship with Him, you're way ahead of the game of just knowing what's God's plan for all of mankind. What is God's will for all of us? So let's pray and ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord, I just want to start off and just say thank You. Thank You so much that as we read through the Scriptures, although there's many things that are hard to read and difficult to read and hard to understand, and there's so many different things to work through, there is no doubt that there is a thread of a loving God that loves us and wants a relationship with us. And God, we just pause this morning to say thank you. Thank you for that. And all of our brokenness and all of our foolishness and all of our insecurities and our mess-ups, the Bible reminds us over and over again that no matter how far we have strayed from you, you want a relationship with us. And that blows my mind, God, and I'm so thankful this morning. So thankful that even though I don't deserve it and we as a church don't deserve it, you want to be close with us and you want to love on us and encourage us and help us and forgive us. And we praise you for that this morning. God, knowing that you're a good heavenly Father that cares about us, would you give us your grace right now? Fill us with your Spirit to understand your word so that we might understand your will even clearer. Not only for all people, but for us individually. Help us to understand where you're directing us. In Jesus' name, amen. This teaching this morning, I'm going to break up into two really important parts. If you came and asked, you know, what is God's will for my life? The first thing I think of is these two things. Is God has a general will for all people, and then he has a specific will for us. And this is a really important qualifier, and I'm going to break it up again into two parts. A lot of the verses are going to be about his general will, and a lot of the verses are going to be about his specific will. But these two things have to go hand in hand. We cannot hold tightly to one and let go of the other, or we can't hold tightly to the other and let go of the other one. God's general will for all people is a very important starting point for us. And only after we understand his general will for all people can we understand his specific will. So we have to have first things first. And I want to show you these different questions here with different emphasis in the next slide. And just ask you this morning, as you approach this topic, where would your emphasis be? As you're going through life, would you say that you ask, God, what is your will for me? Or do you ask the question, what's God's will for me? This is a very important thing for you to just ponder on for a moment. If I were to reword these, I'd say, what is God's will for us? God, as I'm praying and I'm seeking you, just tell us, what do you want us to do? That's an important question. But it's very different when I pray and I say, God, it's Matt. I'm in need here. What do you want me to do? And as we go through life, I would say most of us, and I definitely include myself in this, most of the time my emphasis is on the second thing. God, what are you doing for me? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to major in? Who do you want me to marry? What are you going to do through me? How are you going to use my gifts? And a lot of my prayers are about me, me, me. And we can misplace or we can overlook the really important question, all the commands in Scripture that God has for us just as a community. And here's what I've found in the Scriptures, and I know many of you would agree with this, and I have found this to be true in my personal experience in walking with God, is He is less likely to answer my specific prayers about me when I am ignoring His general will for my life. And let me repeat that again because it's so important. Most of the time in life, God is not going to answer your questions, and I'm not going to say every time, but a lot of the time, He is not going to give you specific answers to your prayers about His will for you when you don't understand what He's doing in all of mankind. So first things have to be first. And so we're going to start off with that, the general will. And again, they're both really important. And I think if we emphasize one over the other, we can get discouraged. Okay? Because I think of different cultures and different times, and I'm giving you another clarifier here, is sometimes we just think of ourselves as one of the masses. And we have no individuality. And we go through this Christian life thing, and God doesn't notice me. I'm just part of this millions and millions of people. Who am I? And we only focus on God's general will, and we can lose the relationship aspect because we just don't think there's anything special about us. Or we can go to the other extreme, and we think we are the center of the universe. And we forget about everyone else around us, and we elevate ourselves too much. And so what the Scripture helps us to do is to hold on to these things in tandem, and that is a great place to be. So the very first thing that we're going to talk about here with His general will is that His will is His Word. That's our first point this morning. His will is His Word. We as Christians greatly value the Word of God. We believe that the Bible is the ultimate authority of how we should live. Now, we know that in a congregation like this, some of you, you're not a Christian, or some of you are just checking things out, or some of you aren't even sure where you are in your journey, and that is okay. We're so glad you're here. And we talk about the Bible a lot, and we want you to take free Bibles that are over there. Just grab them and start reading them. But we want you to know our premise of all of this is that we believe the Bible is God's Word, God-breathed. And so we go to that Bible for what He wants for us. That's our manual for life. As you sit there this morning, do you value God's Word? Is this something that you read often? I could tell if you value it just on how much you open it up and read it. Is it something you go to when you have questions? God, what do you want for my life? Let me look in the Scriptures. Or do we just read other books? Do we just listen to our professors? Do we just listen to our feelings and emotions? Maybe we turn on the TV to see what Dr. Phil has to say about things. Or we ask Siri questions. Have you ever asked Siri what the meaning of life is? I did that, and it's a pretty cool answer, actually. She just talked about organic life and animals and plants and non-organic life. It wasn't very deep spiritually. But she had an opinion on it. So we can go to lots of places for opinions and wisdom. And the foundation is that God's will is in His Word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, it says this. Paul says, "Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received His message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very Word of God," which of course it is. "And this Word continues to work in you who believe." All of the authors of the Bible are in the Bible because they believed that the Spirit was speaking through them the very words of God. Other verses tell us that God was breathing out His Word, His actual will and His belief to us through humankind. And it was a miraculous thing through the Holy Spirit. And Paul says to them that as you read these letters, as you read the Scriptures, you don't just take this as mere human opinions. You take it for what it is, the Word of God. So God's general will starts with His Word. So I want to just start reading some different verses for you that talk about this general will. And the first one is in John 6. If you still have your finger in the book of John, you can turn to John chapter 6. And it says this, "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those He has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see His Son and believe in Him should have eternal life. I will raise them up on the last day." This talks about what is the will of God. And later on it talks about the Father's will. And it says it very clearly that He wants us to see His Son and believe in Him so that we might have eternal life. And as I just mentioned, many of you are on different journeys and you're figuring out your theology of life. And again, this is what we call the good news, the gospel. The very first starting point is, do you believe that God sent Jesus as a sacrifice to become the solution for mankind's sin? And that upon believing in Him, we have eternal life. And I've talked to many Christians over the years as we talk about God's general will. And again, this is another question we could talk about, is it's just so hard to believe sometimes that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I'm sure you've had that question. I know I have. Are we to believe that this is saying that God's will, the one true God, the one thing He wants is everyone to believe in Jesus, so that they might have eternal life? All the other religions are wrong. Even though they have good elements to them, Jesus is the only way. That is clearly what the Bible teaches. This is one of many verses. And I know I've talked to you, some of you sit there and think, that's hard for me to believe. I don't even know if I can accept that. I'm wrestling with that. That is so hard for me to accept. And that is okay. As you seek God's word, as you seek His will and you pray, the Spirit will lead you to this truth. And that is the truth for all of mankind. There is no other name under heaven that has been given to mankind by which we must be saved except through Christ. That's in the book of Acts. And over again, it tells us that we are to seek this one thing with Jesus and be in love with Him. And understand that Jesus sacrificed Himself for us. I love this quote by Bernard of Clairvaux. He was a monk, did a lot of writings 1,000 years ago. And he says this, "The soul that loves God seeks no other reward than that God whom it loves. Were the soul to demand anything else, then it would certainly love that other thing and not God." I love this, and it's so convicting because he says, do we love God? Do we love what this is saying, that Jesus is the solution, and that just knowing God, just knowing Jesus and believing in Him, that is enough for us? We wouldn't really need anything else in this world. We wouldn't need to be satisfied by anything else because God is who we love, and that's our devotion. But sometimes our soul longs for other things. We want spirituality so that we can get this. Or we want to be tolerant to all other people because we want to be accepted. And we want to kind of keep things open and loose because we long to just have the wisdom of the world. We all have different desires of what we long for. And what God asks for is a simple devotion just to Him. Let's move on because there's so many other verses. Romans 12 talks more about God's general will. And it says, after we accept Christ into our life, now what are we to do? Once we believe this, are we done? Are we finished? Is that all we have to work with? And he says this in Romans 12. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let's look at this verse a little bit more. He says a lot of things. It's packed with many things. First of all, there are these customs of the world. And when the Bible talks about the world, most of the time, it's talking about this system in this world that pulls us from God. The tendency of this world to just tempt us or want us to love other things besides God. And he says, the first thing I want you to do, this is my will, don't be like the world. That's the first thing that I want you to work on after you've accepted this truth that I want to know you through Jesus and we're in this relationship. The next thing I want you to do is change. I don't want you to be like the world. I want you to be transformed into a new person. Okay, God, how do we do that? How do I change who I am?
How do I change my old life? He says, by changing the way you think. So there is this assumption here for all of us that we don't think right. That's a really humbling thing to admit, isn't it? To come to God, to come to each other and say, there's things up here that need to change. I don't believe and I don't think the way I'm supposed to. And God wants to start changing how I think. He wants to change the way I believe about Him and about myself and about others. And He says, if you do this, then you will learn to know God's will for you. Isn't this a great verse in what I was just talking about? First things first. First, we've got to know God's general will. I want to change you. Are you okay with that this morning? Are you cool with coming to God and say, God, I want to know your plan for my life. And He says to you, I want you to change. Oh, man. I didn't know what I was signing up for, God. I thought you were just going to give me a good-looking spouse and a cool job and I'd be able to make some money. You want to change me? I got to start giving things up? I have to start adjusting things that I like? Yes. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with admitting you're not where you need to be? And I think for most of us, we say, yes. God, I want that. Change me. It's not easy. It's not the greatest experience sometimes being in the crucible. And the heat starts being poured out on us and the dross comes to the top so that God can take the dross off to make this precious metal. He's trying to make you something precious. I said, man, God, that crucible, it is difficult. I don't love it. But He says, dive into it. Let me change you. And then He says, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good. It's pleasing and it's perfect. And so I love this verse because it's so relational. God says, I love you. You're going to have a great life. It's going to please you. It's going to please me. It is the perfect plan for your life. But you need to do it my way. That's going to be sweet. I love you. You love me. Let's go on this adventure today. But don't think it's going to be easy. Because you are going to have to change. You don't think right, and you're not living right, but I'm okay with that now. I want to start this transformation, and we need to embrace that. The next part of God's general will is in John 17. If you're still there from before, you can go a little bit later in the chapter to verse 20 and 21. And this is Jesus praying right toward the end of his ministry here on earth. And he's praying for a lot of things. You should read all of John 17. It's an amazing chapter. And we get to hear Jesus praying for all these things. And you know, if Jesus is praying for something, it's important. And he prays for the disciples. And he says, God, would you use these disciples to spread this news that I am the one, that I'm the Messiah, that I'm the answer for mankind. Help these disciples spread this message. And then later on, he says this, my prayer is not for them alone, his disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Oh my goodness, that's you and me sitting here right now. Jesus was praying for us, the ones that would believe in him through the disciples' message, that all of them would be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus prayed many years ago that you and I would be close, that we would be one. Not that we would all be the same, but that our hearts would be in love with each other and we would be close. And boy, did he put the bar up really high. Look at this. He says, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, that's what I'm hoping for these future Christians. And wow, that is just blows me away. God wants you and I to be close. And then look what happens if we live this out. May they also be in us. Why? So that the world would believe that you sent me. There is a very relational, evangelical part of you and I getting along. Have you ever thought about that before? God wants you and I to love each other and get along and resolve conflict so that other people would see that and say, I believe in Jesus. Look at those Christians and how much they care for one another. That is so amazing. That is so supernatural. That is so attractive to me. Where do I sign up to be a Christian? But yet, we struggle. We hate each other at times. We are jealous. We let divisions come in and separate us. We lie to each other. We hide. We hurt each other. We talk about each other behind each other's backs because we don't want God's will. We don't value His general will for all of us. And Matt and I have shared this from up front many times, that one of our great prayers for this generation is that they would learn conflict resolution. And we see that it's very difficult for you. You're timid, you're insecure, or you hold your anger, or you've never seen it modeled in your own family of conflict resolution, to have a problem and have hurt and have some true, you know, pain come from each other, and to actually see that build intimacy. And so God looks at us and He says, I want you to be close. Don't let the enemy separate you. And again, this is one of those things that if we are not all in with building these relationships with each other and really being a family, then it doesn't matter what we major in. It doesn't matter what kind of car we buy. It doesn't matter what apartment we live in or what dorm. Those things become very unimportant in our witness to the world when we're not really diving in to love one another. And if you were to summarize all of this with this general will, I would say the best place to do that is in Galatians chapter 5. And if you're looking for something over break, like, you know, what am I going to read over break? And where do I really want to camp out to be in God's Word over break? I would encourage you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Because Galatians chapter 5 is really a nice consensus. It's a nice little paragraph of God's general will for us. And what it talks about is the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. And what the Bible says is, in God's will, in God's kingdom, the Spirit just manifests some really great fruit. But when we live in the world, when we live as the world, when we live in our own sinful flesh, it produces something else. And so here it is, Galatians 5, 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. We have this list of what it means to not be in God's will. So when we go to pray and about God's will for our life, we can simply turn to Galatians 5 and humbly come to God and just say, God, I want to know your will for my life. Is there any sexual immorality in my life that you want to change? Is there any lustful pleasures? Is there anything else I'm worshiping besides you? Am I fighting with anybody? Is there quarrels, hostility, jealousy, angry that I need to deal with? What's selfish in my life? Am I partying? Am I giving myself to alcohol or drugs or some other escape because I don't want to deal with the spiritual realities that I live in? And God will speak to you. His Spirit will bring these things to your mind of what's going on in your life, and you can focus in and say, okay, God, I know your will for my life right now. I know your will for my life, and it is to forgive this person. It is to stop getting drunk. It is to stop sleeping with my boyfriend or girlfriend. It is your will that I stop looking at pornography. It is your will that I stop hating myself and hating others. And you see, God begins to change you. And that's the starting point. And then all of a sudden, we move on in Galatians, and the Spirit changes us. And here's what the Holy Spirit produces. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are God's will for your life, that you would begin to grow in those things, in loving people, having a joyful spirit, peace, patience, all these different things. We are not going to get it in one day, but God begins to bring it into our lives. So I'm getting ready to move on to the second part of the teaching. And that's kind of all of the general will things that I wanted to share this morning. And just to kind of reiterate this again and put an exclamation point on it. You know, when you're teaching someone to drive, I want you to imagine someday that you're teaching your teenager how to drive. Okay? Can you kind of fast forward your life for a moment? And imagine you sitting in the passenger seat, and your teenager sits down and you put your seatbelts on and you're going to turn the car on. What is one of the first things you're going to teach your child? Did somebody say the brakes? Absolutely. And out of experience, the first thing I want them to know is you need to know how to stop this thing. This thing is like a flying, you know, ton of metal that's a weapon. And besides, you know how to turn the radio on or the windows or use your GPS or any of that stuff, and definitely before the gas, they've got to know where the brakes are. Probably the second thing you're going to teach them is where the gas is. Because if you don't know the brake, you're not stopping. And if you don't even know how to hit the gas, you're not going anywhere. And heaven forbid that they think the middle one is the gas and the other one is the brake. That's going to be a problem. So you teach them the things that are the most important right off the bat. And then down the road you get to, you know, turning signals and all these other things and using your GPS and how to follow the signs and all these different things. So I just want to emphasize again, learning the gas and the brake of a car is so crucial to being a good driver. And for us to be good Christians, to be good in this relationship with God, we've got to really know His general will and all those things I just talked about before we move on to the specific things. But now we're going to move on to the specific things. And the next verse is in Proverbs chapter 3, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take." This verse is so key to me, and I've shared this with you many times, and it's worth reminding you again because I want you to know, Matt and I always share our weaknesses and our faults with you because we want to be transparent, and we want you to know that we struggle just like you do. But there was that time in my life where I fell away from God after college. And I got involved in that immoral relationship with that girl that I knew God didn't want me to be in this relationship. One, because it was immoral, but two, she didn't believe what I believed. She didn't want to be a Christian. And I was in this relationship rebelling from God. And I remember praying very fervently many times, "God, would you change her heart to become a Christian so that I could marry her? Change her. And then we can get married." I wanted God to do something before I did my part. And in my foolishness, in my weakness, I'm not kidding, I prayed that prayer many times, crying out to God that He would change this specific situation for me before I changed my specific life for this relationship with Him. And every time I prayed that, I could almost see God just smiling, being like, no. You've been around too long, Matt. You know that doesn't work. That's not going to happen. I was not seeking His will in all I do. And then He would say, you know, I want to show you the path to take, but you're not listening to me. And finally, by God's mercy, later on at the end of that school year, God gave me the courage and the wisdom and the strength to just break that relationship off. And man, the relationship and the peace and the joy that came in ending that relationship, even though it was hard and it was really painful and a lot of tears and a lot of things I regret, the spiritual part was so good. And God started speaking to me again, showing me which paths to take in life. And it was really, I wish I had more time for all the stories of what God did after that. But it was amazing. You see, in 1 Samuel 3:10, we see this really important truth. The Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. If you want to understand God's specific will for your life, and He does want to tell you specific things just about you, the first thing that we need to understand is that He wants to talk to you. Do you believe this morning that you can listen and that God will speak to you? Not maybe in an audible voice like He did sometimes in the Scriptures, but God wants to communicate to you. Through His Word, as we talked about, but through His Spirit. And I can think of those times where I was praying and I heard God speak things to me. And it's not like every day. I wish I had all these more experiences and more frequent interactions with hearing God's voice. But I'm like you. I'm straining my ear. I'm trying to have a sensitive spirit to what God says to me. But I can definitely tell you there are times that God has spoken to me. And I know in my heart, and I know through my spirit, just listening, God just said something to me, specific. And just like He spoke to Samuel, just like He spoke to me, just like He speaks to millions of people, God wants to tell you specific things. But you need to give Him the opportunity. You need to get alone with Him. You need to get quiet. And do we not know God's will for our lives many times because we have never asked? And then we have never calmed ourselves and just got alone with God and given Him this space, give Him this time to just be in a quiet place of solitude, be still, and know that I'm God, and let Him speak to us. And man, I want to encourage you. I want to beg you to do that over break. If you have never really heard the voice of God and heard Him speak intimately, personally to you, I want to encourage you and challenge you over this break to get away and get time and give God the opportunity to speak to you like He's spoken to many other people. And then we can come to Him and say, God, you know, what do you want me to do with my life? I have these decisions about my future and about things in my life and all these details. And the Bible says that if God cares about the flowers of the field and He cares about feeding little sparrows, surely He cares about you and the details of your life. He cares for us more than anything else in creation. So He definitely wants to communicate specific things to us, and we need to listen. One of the greatest times of God speaking to me is just incredible, life-changing. And it was in 1999. I was out at Colorado LT. And I had just started dating this really awesome, hot girl named Mary Lynn. And we were going out on dates and we were hanging out. And I was 30 years old and I was on staff and she was 26 and she was on staff. I was like, this is it. I've been waiting all these years. This is the one. And we were talking about marriage and we were at Colorado, this romantic place. And this one night we went out on this cool date and I wrote her a song. Yeah. Played it on my guitar in the Rocky Mountains. I mean, I was home free. And I played this song for her, and we went out to eat, and I got her flowers, and we drove back down to Estes Park where we were all staying with the other students. And we pulled into this parking space, and she turned to me and said, "We need to talk." Oh, wow. That didn't sound good at all. And she started sharing what God was doing in her life and how she did not have peace in this relationship. And I just looked over and said, "Are you breaking up with me?" And she said, "Yeah. I don't feel right about this." And oh my goodness, I was devastated. I was so sad. And we both cried. And for days after that, I cried. And I remember sitting on the front porch of Estes Park with my Bible and some stuff to write with and just saying, "God, why? Why?" Just like this series that we're doing. "God, I thought you said she was the one. Why is this happening? I am so confused right now. I thought she was the one. I thought she thought I was the one. I am just a mess right now. God, help me." And I felt God saying very clearly to me, "I would like you to write down what you want." And I got myself in a place where even with his general will, I'm like, "God, is there something in my life? I mean, just help me. I'll do anything. I want to be with her." And he said, "Just write it down." And then he asked me, "Do I trust him?" Which he's asked me that many times throughout the valleys of my life. "Do you trust me? Do you trust my specific will for your life?" And I wrote down things. I want to be a pastor. I want to be so close to you, God. I want to marry her. I want to be in college ministry for a long time. And I want this or this. And I wrote down like 8 things that most of it, if not all of it, I just wanted to do to glorify God. And I saved that paper and I would pray through that. And God told me to just hang on to that and pray and pray and pray. And I remember a couple months later, we were actually on a missions trip to Honduras together, which was painful. It was hard to be broken up in America and it was hard to be broken up in another country. And I remember she pulled me aside from what we were doing down there in the ministry, and she said, "Matt," something like, "I have peace now." I was like, "I'm going to need to think about this." No, I didn't say that. I tried to kind of play it cool, but inside I was elated, and I was so excited. And we started dating again. We got engaged and married all in that year. I wanted to get the job done quick before she changed her mind. Seal the deal. And I have saved that piece of paper over the years, and God has specifically answered all of those things. And that has built my faith so much in trusting God and knowing that God cares about me and my specific plans. And I believed with all my heart as I was writing those things down, they weren't just for me and for my own pleasure. They were things that I thought God wanted for me. They were things that I thought would glorify God. Because again, at the heart of all of us needs to be, I want to obey your general will and glorify you and be in this relationship and whatever specific things you have for me to make that happen, That's what I want. And he has blessed me, and he has helped me. And I have been so thankful for that. You know, one of the cool things about that story, which leads us to the next verse, is you and I do not have to figure out God's specific will for our lives by ourselves. It is so amazing. He has put people in our lives and community to give us wise counsel. And the very first time that there was even a thought of Mary Lynn was years before that at this big banquet. And my parents were there, and Mary Lynn's parents were there, and there's a whole bunch of students there with their parents. And my parents said to me, "Hey, you're in your 20s. You're not married. What are you doing? How about that girl?" Pointing to Mary Lynn. I was like, "Oh, I don't know." And her parents were there, and they said to her, "Hey, how about that guy?" My parents and her parents could have arranged this marriage. I wish they would have done that and saved us a lot of time. We have people around us with wisdom. And some of the people in your lives, maybe they're not worthy of your trust or worthy of your spiritual, their spiritual input. You're not sure if it's sound in doctrine. But for many of us, we have people in our lives that do love the Lord and know the Word of God, and they love us, and they have the standards that we have, and they can give us input on our lives and who we marry and what kind of job we have and who we live with and all these things, and we need to ask them. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others." Sometimes our own emotions and our own thoughts can lead us astray, and we need others to help us. I'm so thankful for the men and the women in my life that talk me out of doing dumb things. And that happens a lot. So we need to seek counsel, and we need to be open to what others say. And others are going to have a lot of good wisdom on this. Let me close with this in 1 Timothy 2. And then we'll pray. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all peoples. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. This passage here in Timothy is reminding us to pray. Pray for people. Pray for each other. Pray for ourselves. Intercede, because our prayers are going to make a difference. They're going to make a difference for us, and God's going to speak to us and lead us in the right way. But finally, this is the exclamation point that we started with. This is God's good pleasure and pleases God. In another way, it says, this is God's will for our lives, that we would all be saved and understand the truth. God wants a relationship with you intimately, and that is the most important part of his will for us. Let's pray. God, we just thank you that through all the details and all of the decisions that we have, Lord, we can just come here together and be reminded that we all have one decision in common. Are we going to live this life with you, listening to you, or are we going to go our own way? And God, I thank you so much that for many of us, we have chosen that path to believe in you, to ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives and say, God, I want to follow you. And Lord, we want to celebrate that today. Lord, for some of us here, we're not quite there in our journey. Maybe we're right on the edge and we're deciding, is it God's will for my life to accept Jesus as my Savior and begin to follow him? And God, I pray right now that through your Spirit, you would tell them the truth. You would tell them that that's your will. That's the next step for them. And that they would cross from death to life. Lord, and I just thank you so much that you have saved us. We were drowning and you rescued us. And now that we're in this relationship with you, you want to talk to us. You want to walk with us. You want to hold our hand and whisper important things to us. God, over this break that's coming up, would you help us to listen to you? Bring the specific things that we have that we're burdened by, God, and would you have grace and mercy on us and speak to us and lead us in the path you want us to go. I believe that you'll do that, and I have faith that you will direct each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.